Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Florence Roseman. This is Steve Mormelstein's mother-in-law, a regular member of the shiur for many, many years. Freida Tzipora Bas Shmuel Eliyo. All the Nishons we learn for should have an Aliyah. Now, we begin by the words Guf, about nine lines down from the top of Nun Aleph Omad Aleph. Guf is always a good place to start because it's going to repeat what we learned in yesterday's shiur. So we start with the words Gufa. We learned in the Braisa yesterday the following. Dvarim hamutarim. If something is technically, halachically permitted, however, v'acherim nagu bahen iser. But there are people that have mistakenly thought that it was usser. So in this situation, you shouldn't go after their rabbis or their custom has made that this is something that is also, you shouldn't go be matrit in front of them. Again, there are a lot of parameters that I said about this in yesterday's shiur. It can depend on whether they made a chumrah. If it was a chumrah, so then you certainly shouldn't go and do something to change their personal custom of being machmir. But if they made, Tosa says, in the top Tosa says, Iyatar Rashay Latirim Bifneim, he says, if they were making a mistake, then you're allowed to. So again, this isn't a blanket statement, but under these situations where it does apply, where they mistakenly thought something was usser, in this situation, you shouldn't go and correct it in front of them. Now, that was the general statement, and then on that, Amar Rav Chista bechusoy askin. Rav Chista said, you only do that when you're dealing with people that aren't scrupulous and careful in their performance of mitzvos, and such as the kusim, the people who came from an area called Kuta, they were displaced by Sancheiriv and brought over there, and they eventually, my big machokis as to what their status was, they converted, was it a conversion out of wanting to become Jews, and it was a valid conversion, or was it because of the lions, the arroyos with an olive that attacked them, and they said, well, we better serve the god of this land, and in addition, our own god as well. So there was always a question as to the halachic status of such people, so they were not very scrupulous in their performance of the mitzvot, and therefore, Rav Chista says, you have to be very concerned. If you tell them that this is mutter, when they held there was also, they're going to say, well, other things are also mutter, and therefore, Rav Chista qualified this statement that you're not allowed to go and change their practices from something that they thought was us, to tell them, no, it's really mutter, but it's only dealing with kusim, not for the general Jewish population. That was the statement, that's the gufa that we're now going to discuss. So Gemara says, really? The huli amalo, for the rest of the world, you're allowed to go and walk into their community and say, hey, you guys are making a mistake, you're allowed to do that? I'll show you. Now we have a braisa that's going to give us three examples of where this doesn't seem to be true. It all seem to be steers on the statement that Rav Chista just said. And this is a Tosefta in Moed Katan. And this Brisa tells us as follows, the Tanya. The first case is as follows. Rochatzin Shneachan Ki Echad. Two brothers are allowed to go to the bathhouse together. In other words, they're going to be unclothed in the bathhouse. That's not a problem. It's not a concern. As Rashi points out, you might have thought that it should be pritzus. It should be something that's inappropriate. As he points out, Mitosh Mitsuyin Yachad, since they're together on a regular basis, and now Akshav Ro and Aruman says that now they're in the bathhouse, they're going to be unclothed, they're going to see each other unclothed. So you might have thought that this would be something that could lead to Mishkav Zohar. But the din is that they're allowed to go and bathe together. There is no concern here. We don't have to put in any sort of a derabbanan, or there's no harchoka, no geder, no fence that the rabbis felt was necessary to create in this situation. Now, that's what the Braisa says. However, the people in a certain city known as Kovul, they put in an additional restriction over here. So the din is Rochatz in Shnei Achen Kiachon, that you're allowed to do this. However, in the city of Kovul, they ain't Rochatz in Shnei Achen B'Chavul. In the city of Kovul, they didn't do this because they felt that this was something that was inappropriate. Now, they made a mistake, as we'll see in the Gemara. It really is allowed. Now, the two sons of Rabban Gamliel, Umaisa, Behuda, Vehillel, Banos Rabban Gamliel, they came to the city of Kabul not knowing this particular chumrah or practice that they had put together in Kabul, and they went to the bathhouse together. Shirachim Shashtem Kiachod, Behavul. Now, people there were very upset. The laws Alem, Kola Medina, everybody in Kabul, the whole Medina there, said, hey, look at these priests and look at these two brothers, look what they're doing. The laws Alam Kol Medina, they were speaking about them in a very negative way. So Amru, Miyamenu Lorinu Kach, we never saw anything in our lives. Two brothers taking a bath together in the bathhouse, this is crazy. The Nishmat Hillel, so Hillel, when he heard about them complaining or pondering, how could they do such a thing? So Hillel, right? He was one of the two brothers. So Yotza, he left. He said, oh, this is not considered appropriate here. Of course, I'm going to leave. He went to the outer chamber, let his brother finish bathing in the inner bathhouse. And then when his brother was done, he went inside. But he did not tell them, hey, you guys are crazy. You're allowed to do this. What are you giving us a hard time for? Now, this is clearly against Rav Chisda because this was in Kabul and they were in Kusim. They were regular Yidden over there. So this is case number one against Rav Chisda. The Raisa continues, case number two, also with the two sons of Rav Gamliel, Yehuda and Hillel. Yotzim bikur dekison b'shabbos. Now, kur dekison, Rashi tells us, is a foreign language word. He says, for a certain type of shoe that is wide, rechovim, below chayshin, and yet we're not concerned that dilmo mishtalfi, that it may fall off your foot, v'asi lasuyinhu arba amos. It's not going to be comfortable for you to wear it. It's too big. It's going to slip off your foot. So you might have thought there's a concern that if we allow you to wear such shoes, they're going to be carried dalet amos and shus harabim. Ain derech bnei biri. Lord says bechor dekisin shame noagim ben isur. So technically it's allowed, but as Rashi points out, the upcoming Gemara, we're going to see the people in the city biri, they did in fact not allow such types of footwear to be worn on Shabbos. So the din is yotzim bechor dekisin b'shabbos. You're allowed to do this. However, they yotzim bechor dekisin b'shabbos in the city of biri and ma'aser shohaya again. They did not know. The two children of Rabbi Gamliel, Hillel and Yehuda, they went there, and their practice was to wear kudakison on Shabbos. And therefore, Sheyatsu b'kudakison b'Shabbos b'biri, and they wore them. Now, everybody got upset. Again, v'loaz alei namadina v'amru miyomeinu lorinu kach. Everybody was talking about them, saying, wow, look at these people, they're doing something that's terrible. They're wearing these types of shoes on Shabbos, and our custom is that you don't wear them. It's usher. So what happened? So Yehuda and Hillel did not want to go and tell the people, you guys are making a mistake. So they followed the local custom. And they said, fine. Ushimotum, they took off their shoes. And they gave them to their avodim. Now, all of the mafarshim ask, what do you mean they gave them to their avodim? How does that help you? Isn't there a concept of shvisas avdo? So just like you can't do something, you can't let your eved do it. So if it's aser for them, it should be aser for the avodim. So two of the many terutzim over here are, first one is brought down from the Hagos Yifei Naim, and he brings down that since this is not a real Isser, it is only a Maris Ayin type of an Isser over here, hey, they're letting their servants wear these Kundakison type of shoes, how could they do that? Technically it was Mutter. So since there was only Avadim, the Shvisa Avdo concern doesn't apply over here. That's terutz number one. Terutz number two from the Mitzvah Shmuel, he says that it really wasn't their avodim. It was really like a hired attendant, a socher. And a socher, that's not your responsibility. So they could give it to the socher. Whatever the socher does is fine, because they weren't doing something that would lift ne'ivir lo sitein mirshol, because there was technically mutter to do this. So they didn't have to worry about giving it to their, quote, eved slash their socher. In any event, they did exactly what the people custom was. They took off these shoes and didn't wear them. But they didn't want to tell them, hey, you guys are making a mistake. It's perfectly permissible. The rabbis never instituted a gzeira against wearing these kurdukisos. That's the second question against Rav Chisda. And the third and final one is the Yoshin al Safsali Nochem B'Shabbos. The din is, you're allowed to go sit on these benches that the Goyisha merchandisers would sit on when they were selling their wares. As Rashi says, Shem Mokrim Bem Schora, this is the place where they would normally sell their wares, and when they're sitting here on Shabbos, Lo Chashinu L'Chashoda, there's no concern that people are going to say, hey, what are they doing sitting over there in the places where the Goyim sell their stuff? They must be selling stuff on Shabbos. So that's the din. Yoshin Al-Safsali Nochrim B'Shabbos. However, in the city of Akko, the Ein Yoshin Al-Safsali Nochrim B'Shabbos B'Akko. But in Akko, they had this custom not to allow that. And here we have different players. So we have, and now, Umaisa B'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel himself, who came to the city of Akko, and he said, this is a nice place to sit down and rest. Yoshev al safsali nochem b'Shabbos b'Akko. Now, again, he didn't know he was doing something that was against the local custom, but the people spoke up. The laws of kol medina amru miyameinu lo rinu kach. All the people in this town of Akko were shocked at this behavior. They said, we never saw somebody do such a thing. So again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel should have told them, you guys are making a mistake. But instead, he went off the chair, nishmat, he no longer sat on that safsoli nochrim, and he sat on the ground, nishmat agabi karka. So he got off that chair, that bench, and he sat on the ground, and did not tell the velo rotzolom alehem mutar netem. So we have three scenarios here where great Talmidei Chacham came to a town. The first one was Kovel, the second one was Biri, the third one was Akko. They did something unintentionally against the custom of the town, and even though they could have told the townspeople, you all are making a mistake here, they followed the local custom of the town, even though they weren't Kusim. So Kashan Rav Chisdu says you only have to do this for Kusim. So Gemara says a very simple teretz. Gemara says all three cases over here are cities that are Bnei Medina Sayyam, which Rashi tells us the people in the Medina Sayyam didn't have Talmidei Chachamim constantly coming to visit there. And therefore, they were not the most scrupulous in their performance of the mitzvos. And as a result, we treat them like the Kusim, as Rashi points out. The Kivin Lo Gemira, they weren't very smart. They didn't have a lot of Torah knowledge. The Lav Makom Torah, who wasn't a place of Torah, the Chamidim didn't come there on a regular basis. So therefore, there was the same concern of Sar Chemilso that they, if you told them this is Mutter, they're going to say other things are Mutter as well. So therefore, Bnei Bnei Sayyam Nami, Kivin Lo Shlicha Rabban and Gabayu, since they didn't have a regular Talmidei Chacham coming there, it was an unusual occurrence that these Talmidei Chacham came to these cities. Kusim Domo. We treat them halachically, Rav Chisda says, just like the Kusim. The whole reason for the Kusim is because they're going to go and it's going to lead to terrible problems. If you tell them this is Mutter, they're going to say other things are Mutter as well. And therefore, these cities, which were cities what we call Medina Sayyam, they were not in the central part of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Kovul, Bire, and Akko are treated, the people there are treated like Kusim in regards to this din. Now the Gemara says, why exactly did we have a potential concern in each of these three cases? I already said this outside. We'll see it now inside. Bishlamo Safsali Nachrim, why was there a potential concern over here with the benches of the Nachrim? Okay, Mishum Demachse Kameka Kumemka. When you go sit on those places, it's going to look like you're selling stuff there. That's always used, not for sitting and relaxing purposes. That was the place where they used to sell their wares. So therefore, if you're sitting there on Shabbos, people are going to mistakenly think, hey, he's doing business on Shabbos. Likewise, Bekord the Kison, with those very poorly fitting shoes that they could come off, and you'd end up carrying them in the Shusarabim Nami. We understand, Dilma Mishtalfin, they may come off, and you get tired of putting them back on, having them come off, putting them back on, having them come off. Vasi Lesayinu, Arba Amos Mishusarabim. And you may come to go and carry them, Dalit Amos Mishusarabim. However, the two brothers not being allowed to go bathe in the bathhouse, what's the concern? El Rochitzin, my time alone. We aren't concerned with Mishkav Zohar. Now, there's a simon in Shulchan Aruch that actually discusses, do we or do not have a dinim of yichud in regards to men? We have, of course, dinim of yichud. A man can't be alone with a woman. So there's a concern that it could lead to pritzik activity. It could lead to, Rachmona Litzlan, immorality. So do we or do we not have to have the same concern with two men alone in a room? So there is a position in Shulchan Aruch which says, yes, you should have to be choshesh for this. Then there's an opinion that says, no, that was only in those days, but not nowadays. Then it changes around, maybe even nowadays. The bottom line is, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that there is no din of yichud concern with a man. So to over here, there is no technically iser of two people going to the bathhouse together, getting undressed and going into the bathhouse and bathing. They had public bathhouses and bathing. We could say the same thing today with the mikvah. There is no problem in a men's mikvah for multiple men going into the mikvah around the same time. Again, no halachic problem, whether COVID problems or whether there are other issues, that's a different story. But from a pure halachic point of view, we're not concerned. So what were the people in our first case in Kovel concerned about with two brothers going into the bathhouse? That's the question the Gemara is now asking. So Gemara says, no, it is a concern based upon the following. Kidatanya, a different brisa. The brisa says, imakol oder rochets. There is no general concern about two people being in a bathhouse together, two men being in a bathhouse together. That's not a concern, with certain exceptions. Chutzmi aviv, you shouldn't go into the bathhouse with your father. That's improper. Rashi is going to point out, because if you're going to see, a person sees his father or see his father-in-law in an unclothed state, so he's going to look at the area of the milah and he's going to think, that's where I came from, or that's where my wife came from, and that's an improper thought. It could lead to a hirhurim, and therefore we don't do this. That's what the Gemara will say in a moment. So first, let's just read the Gemara. So you're allowed to go to the bathhouse with anybody, Makol or the Rochets, with the exception, Chutzmi Ovid, with your father, Vachom of your father-in-law, for the reason I just mentioned, Ubal Imo, if your mother remarried somebody, so you shouldn't go with him as well. It's going to lead to Hirhurim. Ubal Achosu, and likewise, the husband of your sister, again, all of these could lead to Hirhurim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Matir Be'Oviv, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you can go to the bathhouse with your father, and they covered Ovid, because of need to give honor to your father. Rashi points out, Shemesham Shayu, B'Merachot, you assist him in the bathhouse, so you can go and do this with your father. The concern of Hirhurim doesn't apply here. More concern over here for covered for your father. And he says, V'adin L'balimo, the same halach applies with the husband of your mother, that you have to give him covered. Now, the people in Kabul, the Asuinu, they came along and said, well, if you're not allowed to go with your sister's husband, the Gozru Bishnei Achim Mishum Balachoso. So he said, well, your sister's husband, that's very similar to your brother-in-law, is similar to your brother. And therefore, the Gozru, therefore, they made this Gezerah incorrectly, inappropriately, for Shnei Achim. But that was the Minhag in Kabul. That explains why they had this custom. Bottom line is, Gemara says, Tana, we learned in another Braisa, Talmud lo yichatzim rabo, that a Talmud should not go and bathe with his Rebbe. It's improper. It's a lack of kavod to see the Rebbe in an unclothed state. However, im rabo tzarech lo, but if the father or the Rebbe needs you, then mutu, then you are permitted to do so. You can be mishamish them. If there's nobody else that can do so, then it's appropriate for you, and that is, in fact, halacha l'maisa. Gemara contingent says, Ki also Rabbah bar Barachana, when Rabbah bar Barachana came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he went back and forth, as many of the Amoraim did, to learn Torah from Eretz Yisrael in Bavel and vice versa. So one time, he came back to Bavel, and he had for supper, Ochal Da'yisra. He ate from this part of the stomach, the fat of the stomach, known as Da'yisra. Now, the stomach is a curved organ. It's like a semicircle type of an organ, and there are permissible fats, and there are not permissible fats. The fats that are in the curved part, they're not permissible. The fats that are in the more straighter back part, they're permissible. And this is like a bow and arrow. So it's called as the Ayisra, is the straight part of like a bow and arrow, and the bow part, where it's curved, is considered the non-permissible fats of the stomach, and the straight part is considered the permissible fats. That's why it's known over here as the Yeser, or the Ayisra. Now, he ate from it, because technically it's allowed. However, Olagabe Rav Aviro Saba, two Tamidei Chacham came to discuss Torah with him, and they were Rav Avira Saba, that's the Girsa that we have. On the side, he says the Girsa should be Rav Avia, in any event, or either spelled with an aleph or with an ayin, there are different ways to go and spell it. It was Rav Avia, not Rav Avira Saba, and the Rabba Bered Rav Huna, and Rabba, who was the son of Rav Huna. So these two Tamidei Chacham came to talk Torah with Rabba Barachana, but he was eating supper. And meanwhile, he saw them coming, Kivin the Chazenu, he saw them coming, Kasye Minayu. He covered up what he was eating, so they shouldn't see him eating this Ayisra, because he knew that they felt that this was a Chumrah, that one should not eat this Ayisra. Whereas the Halacha, Rabbi Barachana knew, was that you're allowed to. So also, they saw that he had covered it up. So they went to Abaye, and they said, he's eating the Ayisra. What's going on? Are you allowed to or not allowed to eat this? So Amaluhu. So Abaye tells these two Tamidei Chachamim, Rav Avira Sava, Rav Ava Sava, Rabba Bered Rav Huna, that he's treating you like Shavinuchu Kikusoi. He's treating you like Kusoi. He's saying, you've accepted upon yourself something that's also, it's also for him to be matter it in front of you. Just like you're not allowed to do this, what Chisna said in front of the Kusim, what we said in the B'nai Menina Sayam. So he's treating you as if you are these people that aren't a knowledgeable people. As Rashi says, Damrina Lel, Dvarma Mutorim Vacherim Nogu Bemisr, Yatar Rasher Latirim Bifneyan, in front of the Kusim or the non-knowledgeable people. So therefore, Abaye told him, Ukba Rav Chisda Bikusai. Rav Chisda said that's by Kusai. So he's treating you like Kusai. Shavinchu Kikusai. The Gemara says, how could he do this? The Rabba Barachana, Les Lay Hoditnan. How could Rabba Barachana eat this in front of them? And then he covered it up, but he was eating it still in front of them. So after all, we learned in our Mishnah, Mokum Shinagu, it said, Nostin Lov Chumri HaMokum Shiyotsu Misham, the Chumri HaMokum Shalach L'Sham. He has to follow the Minhagim of the place that he's going to. In Bavel, they didn't eat the Ayisra. So how was he allowed to go and eat it? While he's technically correct, it's Mutter, they had taken up, and they weren't Amaratzim, they were great, great Tamidei Chachamim in Bavel, and therefore, how was he able to go and eat this in front of them? Isn't that not taking upon yourself the chumras of the place that you're going to, and he should have done so? So the Gemara will give two terutzim. Amar Abaye says it depends. Ha nimili mi bavel bavel. When we said you have to follow the chumras of the place that you're going to, that's when you're going from one place in bavel to another place in bavel. So for Nardoi, they were stricter than Pumbedisa. So when you're in Nardoi, you have to follow the stricter customs of Nardoi. Likewise in Pumbedisa, in Surah, etc. When you go from one place in Babel to another place in Babel, this din applies of Malkum Shinagu. You have to follow the stricter Chumrah of the place that you're going to, or you have to maintain the Chumrahs of the place that you came from. That's in Babel to Babel, same thing. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. If you're going from Tel Aviv to Haifa, you're going to Yerushalayim. So whatever the stricter customs are in the place that you're going to, you have to follow them. Likewise, inami mi bavel Eretz Yisrael. If a person is going from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, so then you have to follow the stricter custom of Eretz Yisrael. But Abaye says, Avo mi Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, lo. When you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, as Rabba Bar Bachana did, then Kivon di Anan Kaifinin lehu, Avdinon Kivosayhu. Since the people in Bavel are moded, that the people in Eretz Yisrael are greater than them, and therefore the people in Eretz Yisrael, their customs are to be allowed to be followed even when they go to Bavel. So if they have a minhag lekula, they're allowed to go and continue doing that in Bavel because they're considered correct no matter what, because Bavel is subordinate to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Rabba Baruch Hanna was permitted to maintain his leniency, i.e. eating the Ayisra, in this situation, even though the minhag in Bavel was not to eat it. That's why he was allowed to do so. That's teretz number one, Abaye's teretz. Teretz number two, Rav Ashi Amar. Again, whenever you have, instead of Amar Rav Ashi, you have Rav Ashi Amar, means it's a separate teretz. It's not mutually exclusive. He's not arguing with Abaye, saying, you're right, Abaye. But even if you want to say that you're not right, Rav Ashi Amar, afilu tem meretz Yisrael Babel. Even if you wanted to argue that in Eretz Yisrael, they were not necessarily allowed, when they came from Eretz Yisrael, to not follow the rules of Babel, they had to follow the chumras of Babel. Nevertheless, even in this situation, Rav Ashi says, that is only true. Hani mili hechod ein daito lachsar. That is true. That you, the people of Eretz Yisrael coming to Bavel, they have to follow the chumras of Bavel when they're there. But that's only if they're not intending to go back. But if they're intending to go back, then they're not mechuyif to follow those rules. And here, the Rabba Babrachana daito lachsar hava. Rabba Babrachana was not doing yerida. He wasn't moving from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He was going to learn in Bavel for a little bit of time, and then he was going back to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this din that you have to follow if you're from Eretz Yisrael going to Bavel, the chumras of Bavel, you have to give up your leniencies and follow their chumras only applies if somebody is emigrating to Bavel and he's now going to live in Bavel. But Rabbi Barachana was planning on going back and therefore he didn't have to follow in private, in Sinna. He didn't have to follow. That's why he covered it up as soon as he saw them. In private, he's allowed to go and do like he normally did beforehand. Tosus adds at the end of the Tosus Iyata, and he says, but by the Kusim, this applies even if you're planning on going back. You shouldn't go and do something in front of them because it's going to lead to a sircha, it's going to lead to a problem. Here, there was no problem. These were Tamidei Chachamim in Bavel. They would understand what was going on and it won't lead to a takala. But when you're dealing with the Medina Sayyam type of people that aren't very knowledgeable or the Kusim, so then there's a concern about a sircha. So afilu daitu lachzer also. Then even if you're planning on going back, you still shouldn't do it even bitsinna because they could easily find out. Mor says, Amalei Rabba Babar Chana Livnei. That's the Girsa that we have. Others have the Girsa Libre, not to his many sons, but to his specific son. And that changes the next Girsa, whether you read the word Bonai, my children, or it says Bini, my son. In any event, Rabbi Baruch Hanna told either one son or all of his sons the following. My children, he said, Lo Sochal, do not eat, Rashi says, this Ayesra, don't eat this fat over here in Bavel. Even though I eat it, you're not allowed to follow my opinion. Why is that? Lo b'fanai, you can't do this even when you're with me. Lo shelo b'fanai, and certainly when you're not with me. Now, why is that? Why am I allowed to eat this fat? Because ani, I, shorisias Rav Yochanan, I myself saw Rav Yochanan paskin that this ayisra is perfectly fine to eat. Sha'achal, he himself ate it, so therefore, kedai, it's acceptable for me, who, Rav Yochanan, listen, chalav, I can certainly rely upon my Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, and follow his custom. And since I'm allowed to follow his custom, I can do this b'fanav when I'm in the presence of Rav Yochanan, and even v'shelo b'fanav, and even I'm not in the presence of Rav Yochanan. However, you, atah, my children, my son, lo ra'iso, so you never saw Rav Yochanan eat from the Ayisra. You only saw me from the Ayisra, and I'm not Rav Yochanan. And therefore, you can't eat it. You can't rely upon me. You could rely upon Rav Yochanan. But Rabbi Baruch Hanna was a very humble person. He says, I'm not great enough that you can rely upon me to eat this Ayisra, and therefore, you can't eat it. Lo tochal, ben b'fanai, ben shelo b'fanai. Because there is an opinion that says you're not allowed to eat it. I saw Rav Yochanan, so I can rely upon it. But Rabbi Baruch Hanna says, I'm not great enough that you can rely upon me. And therefore, even in my presence, and certainly when you're not in my presence, you're not allowed to go eat the Ayisra. Now, that's what Rabbi Baruch Hanna says here. The Gemara said, but you said differently elsewhere. Elsewhere you said you are allowed to eat it in the presence of Rabbi Baruch Hanna. As we say, upliga diday adiday, we seemingly have stira in the two statements of Rabbi Baruch Hanna. In this first statement, he said, you can't eat it. And in this next statement, the Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, "Sochli Rav Yochanan ben Elazar." One time he said, "Rav Yochanan ben Elazar told me the following incident." Pamachas, he said,
Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar said, Pamachas nechnasti achai Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lakunya Legina.
One time he followed this great time of Chacham, Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lakinya, into this garden. We turn to the Amud Beis, Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And he said, the Notal Svichei Kruv, he was in this garden, and there were some Svichei Kruv, or the self-grown, they weren't planted, but they grew on their own, Svichim, that's what they're called, of Kruv, of cabbage. Now, this was a Shemitah year, Rashi says, B'shvihis le'achar zman habir, and this was after the time when there was no more cabbage growing in the fields, and therefore, this is what's known as the zman habir, which I mentioned in yesterday's shir, mentioned again today. There are a lot of different halachic opinions as to what you have to do after it's the zman habir, the time that you have to go and get rid of it. Some say you just have to take it out of your house, and that's it, then you can bring it back into your house. Others say you have to be mafkir, others say you actually have to destroy it. Again, that's not our discussion for today, what you do with beer when you have to get rid of the things that are no longer present in the fields during the Shemitah year. But these svichim were planted on their own. You're not allowed to plant them, but they grew on their own. And now you have these last pieces of kruv out in the field, and he picked it up, this great time of Chacham picked it up, and ochel, and he ate from it. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, who's the one who related this story to Rabbi Bar Chana, said, V'nosanli, this great time of Chacham gave it to me, v'amali, and he said to me, listen, my child, b'ni, b'fanai echo. When you're with me, you're allowed to go and eat it. However, shlo b'fanai lo socha, but if you're not with me, you're not allowed to go and eat it. Now, why is that? This is the great time of Chacham, Rav Shimon ben Rav Yossi ben Lakunya, talking. He said, I myself, sheroyisi es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, I saw the great Rav Shimon ben Yochai, sheochal, he was eating the svichei krov, so therefore, kedai, he certainly is worthy, who Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, lisvachalav, that I can rely upon him, and therefore, Befanov, the shalom befanov. Whether I'm with him, and even when I'm not with him, I can say, I myself saw that he ate these, so therefore I can rely upon it. But you, atah, befanai echol, shalom befanai lo socha. But you, only when you're with me are you allowed to go and eat it. But when you're not with me, you can't, because you didn't see Rosh Hashanah, you only saw me. Okay, so when I'm eating it, you can eat it with me. But when I'm not there, you can't eat it. Now, this is going against. Now, Rabbi Bar Chana was the one that said over this story that Sochli Rav Yochanan ben Elazar, and he told me this story. And here you clearly see that, at least in the presence of the person, you are allowed to accept his heter, albeit maybe not when you're not there, if you didn't see the great Gadol yourself, go and eat it. So that goes against Rabbi Bar Chana, who said, I myself saw Rav Yochanan doing this practice of eating the Ayisra, so therefore I can rely upon it, but you can't. And you can't do this even when you're with me. So we have a steer in Rabbi Bar Chana. So Gemara says, what is this din of Rabbi Shimon? By the way, before we get to answer the steerah, what is the maisa that Rabbi Shimon Yochai ate this? So my Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Shimon, the Stam Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol ha-sefichim asurim, that's the girsa that we have, we'll leave it at that. On the side it says, there is another girsa that says, kol ha-sefichim mutarim, and Tosos has in this long Tosos, Kol HaSvichim, has a whole explanation how you can learn the Gemara that way. We'll learn it nice and simple with the Girsa that we have. And it says in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol HaSvichim Asurin. In general, Svichim are also after the Zman of Beer in the Shemitah year, with the exception, Misvichai Krov, with the one exception being the Svichai Krov. Why? She'ein Kayotze Behen B'Yerek Asodeh, because they're unique amongst the vegetables, in the sense that Rashi explains, the alin, the leaves, hayotzi mikelach hakruv, these leaves that come out from the stalk of the cabbage are different. The cabbage stalks over here go into the ground and they're always present. They're not like the other vegetables that are uprooted totally. And they're more like a tree, Rashi says. Harehin ki ilon, shemosif anofim al anofim. They constantly add new leaves, new additional growths. The lav b'chlau shar svichim ninu, and they're not like the other growths, the vegetables, the kol shar svichim, the other growths, mizera hanechbat, the nofel aretz. They come from the seed, and they eventually get removed from the ground, and there's nothing left. Avol svichei krov, ain't okay, the svichei krov aren't like this. Elo alov gedelim banofim, the leaves continue to grow, velo asrinan torah, elo svichin me'ein zriya. The only type of svichim that are not allowed are those that are similar to ones that you plant. But the svichei kruv, you didn't plant. They're like there from previous years. And therefore, there is no concern. as the pasuk explains, based upon the psukim. Kach shamati. This is what Rashi says is the pshat that I heard, but he doesn't like it. Bekash lichado. He says number one, the chi I gav no lo kori svichim. He says they're not called svichim el gedilim. So that's number one, and number two, bod ilonus bishvius milo naka ben nami kedusha. He says okay, and if they were a tree, they're a dinim of trees also in shmita. So therefore, Rashi says I don't like that pshat. And he says, "V'nira be'enai the time of mishum dekruv eino kala lechaya koyimos achoref, that they never are not found out in the field. They're still present in the field. That's where there is no real shas habir for them." And Rashi concludes, "V'gimgum." It's a little bit difficult to understand either of these two pshatim. In any event, the sviche kruv are the exception to the rule. She'ein kayotz them be'yerek hasode. There is nothing else like them. That's why they're the exception to the rule. Other svichim are aser. And the Chacham disagreed. The Chacham Amim called a Svichim Asur. He said, whoa, what are you talking about? There's no difference between the Svichim Kruv and other Svichim. They're all Asur, as the Gersa that this Brisa that we have in our Gemara is, call a Svichim Asurim. Either there's an exception to Svichim Kruv, according to the opinion of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, or according to Chacham, there is no such exception. That's the Maisa of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Now the Gemara says, V'tarvayu, both Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and the Chachamim go after their Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. V'tarvayu Aliba, the Rebbe Akiva. What is that? Where do we see that they're following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, this is the pasuk that Rashi was referring to. The pasuk by Shmita tells us, "Hey lo nizra lo nesof es tvoseinu." When the people are going to question, how are we going to possibly go and survive after the Shmita? Yeah, what are we going to eat? We can't eat anything that we plant, and we can't eat anything that we collect. Lo nizra lo nesof. Now, how do you understand this pasuk? Rabbi Akiva says, "I'm Rabbi Akiva." Once you're not allowed to plant in the Shemitah year, so where are you going to get growth from? Below Nesov, what? You didn't plant anything. How would the pasuk tell me, oh, you're not allowed to plant, and by the way, you're not allowed to also gather in anything that you planted. You're not allowed to plant, so why would you need the low Nesov? So Gemara says, the obvious answer, because the things that grow by themselves, so anything that's out there in the field, so there is a Shas Habir for that as well. And therefore, that's where both the Chachamim and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai get this idea that the Svichim are going to be Osir, either all of them like the Chachamim, or most of them like Reb Shimon, except the exception of the Svichei Krov. So what, by the way, is this Machlokes over here, B'maiko Miflagi? So Gemara says, Rabbanim Savar D'Chacham Mold, Gazrino Svichei Krov, Otu Shar Svichei D'Yama. They agree that they're not arguing about the Metzias. Is there cabbage around? Is there not cabbage around? Does it grow from a stalk that's never really destroyed or not? That's not what they're arguing about. It's not a machlokes and a metzias. They're a bon sabre. It's different, but it's close enough to the others that if we allow the svichei kruv to be eaten, you're going to eat other things. So therefore, the rabbis will go there. Gazrina svichei kruv, al tushar svichei d'alma. Because if we allow you to have the kruv, you may come to eat the other things that would definitely also. And Rishon Yochai says, no. Rishon Masavar, lo gazrina svichei kruv, al tushar d'alma. Therefore, there is no concern. Bottom line is, we never resolved the stira between Rabbah Bar Bar Chana's two statements. The first one he says, not in front of me, and even with me. And the second statement was, okay, when I'm not there, you can't, but when I'm there, you can. By the way, the Meiri has an interesting explanation. When he says, Lefana, he doesn't mean literally in front of me. It means during my lifetime. It means when I'm around, so I'm still, quote, paskening, so therefore you can rely upon me, Lefana, but not Shalom Befana, when after my passing away, you no longer can rely upon me. Okay, now we quote the Mishnah. It says, if a person goes, we said in our Mishnah, from a place where something was allowed, such as working on Erev Pesach in the morning before Chatzos, and you're going from a place that allowed it to a place that doesn't allow it, so then you have to follow the place that doesn't allow to work on Erev Pesach in the morning before Chatzos. And vice versa, we said, if you're going from a place where something was usher, and you're going to a place where something is mutter, you still have to retain the chumrah customs from the place that you came from. So, where it says, Bishlam, I understand in regards to Erev Pesach that we're dealing here with the question of can you work before Chatzos or not. So, if you're going haholech, a person going mimokim she'osim, a person going from a place where they did melacha on Erev Pesach in the morning, lemokim she'enosim, to a place where they don't do it, so we understand. Nosim lo chumri mokim she'olech l'sham. You have to go and follow the local custom. Nobody else is going to work on Erev Pesach in the morning. You can't go to work as well. Ayishana odam ibn machlokis, and you're not supposed to go and work because it's going to be uncomfortable. Everybody else is saying, hey, we're not working. What are you doing working? And it's going to lead to fighting, and it's going to lead to all sorts of machlokis. And therefore, we can understand the lola of it, so don't do work there. However, the other way around doesn't make any sense. Elami makum shein osim. But if you're going from a place where the minhag is not to do work, and now you're going to a place, lamakum she'osim, to a place that
is doing work, so you have to retain your chumra dika custom. So, ayishana odom ibnei machlokes. So, if you are not going to work, because you're not supposed to be mishana from the custom of the place that you're in, ayishana odom ibnei machlokes. So then, the nevid, so you're going to go to work, but we said that you have to maintain the chumras where you came from. So here, you're now doing a kula. You came from a place that doesn't allow work, and you're going to a place that does allow work, so you're supposed to follow their custom and work, but now you're not taking the chumra from the place that you came from, which is that you're not supposed to work. So here you have a problem. You're not supposed to be mishan odom mei machlokes. You should go to work, so it shouldn't cause machlokes. How come you're not working yet? You're supposed to retain your chumra of not working. So how do you do both? So two terutzim again here as well. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, yeah, this statement that you have to go and not be mishana mipnei hamachlokes only goes on the first part. When you're coming from a place where they allowed work and you're going to a place where they don't allow work, so then you have to take upon yourself the chumra of a place that you're going to, which is don't do work. And therefore, ayishana mipnei adam mipnei hamachlokes. That's very simple. But it only goes on that statement. It didn't go on the other statement. That's what Abaye says. The statement was only on the Reisha. Rava Amar, no. Liola Masefa. Rava says it goes both ways. And here, what we're saying is as follows. In general, a person has to retain all the chumras from the place that he came. And here it's not a problem of Ayishan Odom Ibn Machlokis. Why not? In this situation, in the second part, where you're going from a place where you did not work, and you're going to a place where they do work, so what's the potential problem for Machlokis? Ain Bazom Ibn Shina Machlokis. There's no way that Machlokis could occur over here from the fact that you're not working. What are people going to say? My karmas. People are going to say, Haro Omer, somebody sees you not working, what's he going to say? Oh, Malacha Asura, this guy holds that Malacha is Asur. They're going to say, no, come about Lani, have a Bishukah. They're going to say, this guy's a lazy guy. Or he doesn't have work, he's unemployed, he can't find a job. They're not going to say, whoa, he's causing machlokas here by not working. He's not making a statement, he just doesn't have work to do. If a person doesn't do work, that's not making a statement. As opposed to, if everybody's not working and you work, that's making a statement. So therefore, Mipnei HaMachlokas, in that situation where you have a custom of working but they don't, so then don't work. But if you have a custom of not working, retain that chumra, because it's not going to be recognizable. It's not going to lead to machlokas if you don't work. They'll just say, kama bat lani, heavy beshuka. Look, another lazy person, another person who's not working today because he doesn't have work to do or he doesn't want to do work. Mark continues and says, Amalei Rav Safra l'Rabbi Abba. Rav Safra said to Rabbi Abba, kigon anan, people like us, the adinon b'kviya d'yarcha, we know when exactly the new moon is. Now, they used to obviously have witnesses come and testify when they saw the new moon, and Beis Din would say, Makudish, 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 and they would declare that Rosh Chodesh is on Tuesday, when the witnesses came on Tuesday. So therefore, that's how they would declare Rosh Chodesh was. Then they had to get the news out. So people who knew when the Kriya D'Yarcha was, so they would know and would only hold one day of Yontif. There was no Sveika D'Yoma in that situation. Now, they went to a place where there was no knowledge of when Rosh Chodesh was. And therefore, in the place that they went to, there was Sveika D'Yoma. Now, if they got there, how come the Shlichim didn't get there? So the Gemara tells us elsewhere that you're dealing with places where the Shlichim came for Pesach, they got there in time, but for Sukkot, because there were extra days that the Shlichim weren't allowed to travel because of the Yomim Tovim, so they didn't get there in time for Sukkot. Now, you could argue that in those places, you should observe one day of Pesach, but 2 days of Sukkot, because Sukkot is a Sveika D'Yoma and Pesach is not. So in many of these places, they just adopted the rule. For example, by Shavuos, there is no Sveika D'Yoma. Nevertheless, the Rambam points out that even by Shavuos, there was always 2 days of Yontif. There never was Sveika D'Yoma by the time Shavuos came around. By Pesach, they may not have known, but certainly after that, they did know. And in Shavuos, you count the 49 days of the Yomer, and then the 50th day of Shavuos. There never was Sveika D'Yoma. Nevertheless, when places had Sveika D'Yoma, they adopted it for all the regalim. So what Rav Safra is telling Rabbi Abba over here is, we know that there is no Sveika D'Yoma in this situation. So should we adopt the local custom where they did hold Sveika D'Yoma or not? Anan, we, the Adina, B'Kriya D'Yarcha, should we or should we not follow 2 days of Yontif Sveika D'Yoma in this place that we're going to where they hold 2 days of Yontif? That's the question. We turn to the Omen Aleph, Nun Beis Omen Aleph. and he finishes his question, and he says, I understand, but with them, B'yishav, certainly the law of Yidna. We can't go and do malacha right in front of them. That's impossible. As Rashi says, malacha b'yom tov, sheni, hov, and ogu b'yisr, lo ashana, le'ineyem, and seminek. We can't go and do malacha in front of them. That's clear. Because it can lead to terrible machlokas, neishina machlokas. A person comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he's observing only one day nowadays, so he's not allowed to do, in public, he's not allowed to do any malacha, because it would look very strange. Here's a guy with a long beard and payas, and he's riding in the car on what we call the second day of Yontif. So, neishina machlokas, we understand. The question is, Bamidbar, when we're not amongst them, when we're out by ourselves, Bamidbar doesn't literally mean out necessarily in the desert. It means when we're not in their area, Bamidbar, my, what's the halacha? So Omar, Lay, Rav Abba says back to Rav Safra, who asked the question, Hochim or Ravami? This is how Ravami paskind, the Yishuv also, when we're with them, we're not allowed to. However, Bamidbar, when we're not with them, mutter, it is permitted to do malacha. Now there are many caveats in what means the Midbar here. Does it mean that they already reached the Yishuv and then went out to the Midbar, or they were traveling there and they were in that general area but they hadn't yet reached town? And also, does it make a difference whether they were intending to live there and this is their emigration, or they're intending to go back? So all of these are a particular dinim that need to be discussed in this regard. But the general answer that Rabbi Abba told Rav Safra from Ravami was that when you're with them, you certainly have to hold everything. When you're not with them, so then there are circumstances when you don't have to hold Yontif Sheni Shogolios in that situation. With this, we conclude today's shiur.